the kid whose boys are telling him to light it up. And on one hand, he's like, yeah, they're telling me to do it. I'm going to fucking do it. On the other hand, he's like, but what if somebody yells at me? If he knows in the back of his head that the minute that he does that, that the whole fucking crowd is just going to be yelling at him.
Yep.
He's not going to fucking do it. Exactly. And that's one less person doing a burnout, one less instance of not ruining a fucking show.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to Substance Podcast. I'm your host, Liam.
And I'm your other host, Matt.
And Matt is back on the podcast.
I am back.
Does it feel like a really long time since you recorded
this? I was literally about to say, yes, it does feel like 25% weird.
Yeah.
But.
How was your trip? Everybody wants to
hear. Fucking incredible, man.
Everyone's incredible. Excited.
I am, for anybody that doesn't know, I am engaged. I proposed to my girlfriend, Pal, on my trip to Mexico. And I say it in all of my Instagram posts about her on my personal Instagram. But, like, I just want, we all deserve a relationship like the one I have. Like, that, hearing myself say it out loud, not putting in a caption, sounds kind of weird, but like, I've just found a person that really, you know, loves and cares about me in every facet of myself as what, you know, it's kind of a complicated person. I'm not afraid to say that because that's how I am. And, you know, she checks all the boxes, really. You know, we just, even when there's not patience with each other, there's patience with each other. I don't know if that makes any sense, but, you know, I want everybody to have, you know, the kind of love and support that she gives me, because we all deserve that.
Yeah.
We all deserve that love and support that we know that we can count on. You know, and I wake up every day and try and do the same thing. But yeah, man, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky. And I'm like, I want to start speaking Spanish to talk to her, but
just say a little something. Come on, throw a little something in there.
Cariño, te amo mucho. Te amo mucho. Estoy emocionado para nuestra vida juntos. Sí. Okay, never again. I'm sorry. Never again. Never again.
Un seco, por favor.
it's so funny because, like, I want to say the first time that, like, I was on a video call and, like, Liam was right there. And I, like, it wasn't even, you had been introduced already, but, like, I don't even remember what I said. But Liam looks at the camera and goes, saca puntas.
So when I did Spanish in school, like, okay, for context, I've studied languages for, like, my entire life. In England, you learn French from, like, your first fucking day in school. And so for, like, 18 years of my life, I studied French, and I did Spanish for, like, the last four of those. And I didn't retain fucking shit. But sacapuntas is a very appealing word to just say.
Sacapuntas.
And so it stuck in my head. And that is the word for a pencil sharpener, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from French, a pamplemousse, which is a grapefruit. Yeah. Like, two words that stick with
pamplemousse.
Me. It's funny because I've spent so much time in Europe and I'm awful at languages. And I think it's just because I was younger and I was like, oh, I won't ever fucking need this. I'll never go to these countries when I'm an adult. And then I'm an adult going to these countries all the time. And I'm like, damn it. Why did I do this to myself? But,
well,
you know, it is what it is.
I will say it was kind of funny because I took Spanish in high school for like 3 years. And I guess 2 years before that in middle school, or like 1 year maybe. And, dude, I've never liked school. I was not a good student. I did not fucking pay attention. Mm. Like, I was drawing all the time.
Yeah, that was me.
So I was kind of like, when I started to learn Spanish, which incidentally is how Pau and I met, you know, at the very beginning, it was just kind of like piece by piece. Some of that information that I guess my brain listened to and I didn't started kind of like coming up like, oh, fuck, I know that word. Oh, shit, I know that word. Like, and it was super weird. It was super weird in the beginning. But obviously, as time went on, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad my brain was listening, even though I wasn't.
And I've said this to Matt, too. When Powell eventually like is able to come over here, I am going to brush up on my Spanish because, one, it would just be really helpful for me. And two, because, well, I feel bad that she doesn't really speak that good English yet.
Well, and so and hopefully,
I want to be able to make her more comfortable here.
Yeah, hopefully we – well, there's not hopefully, like
– it's happening. Yeah,
yeah, it's already happening.
I just don't know the time frame yet.
Well, it's not that. I was going to say that, like, by the time she gets here, we're going to – the goal is for her to be speaking, like – the goal is for her to be speaking English, probably like 75% of me speaking Spanish.
Still, so I want to get better with my Spanish, though, because it like, I don't know, I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't. But also, to be fair,
when I was it from me, it's never too late.
I know. When I was in school, we had what seemed like a really great teacher when I first got into Spanish. And then, like, as it went on, he just kind of got really creepy and then just... things came out and it was not gonna go into it. That's just like kind of ruined Spanish for me. So
I mean, I get it. Well, no, and this is okay, so this is both pretext and a message for anybody that's ever like wanted to learn a language but just kind of like isn't or thinks they can't do it. Like, I literally, okay, so the pretext, I'm gonna make a long story short, I think I'm pretty sure I've mentioned on the podcast before, but I'm half Bolivian. And my dad he's the Bolivian side. My dad was second generation Bolivian. My grandfather came from La Paz in the 50s. And my dad had, I can never remember if it's five or six. I guess he's the sixth. So he had five siblings. And he was one of the only two of the five that didn't ever live in Bolivia for like an extended period of time. And his dad worked like two jobs. So he was like very rarely at the house. And well, not rarely at the house. That's not, I'm going to run that way back. Like, he was really present in his family's lives, but he was really busy.
Yeah.
And as such, he was really tired all the time. And basically, whenever my dad would like ask him to start teaching him Spanish, he'd be like, Danny, I'm very tired. I don't have energy to teach you Spanish. So that being said, my dad, the second generation Bolivian, never learned to speak Spanish. And I hate to like snitch on my dad like that, but here we are. So that being the case, I never learned to speak Spanish. And so it was always this, and I don't miss it at all. It was always this really awkward moment where, because I, you know, I'm proud. I'm proud of my Bolivian heritage. And it was always this really awkward moment where that would like come up. Like, I would say that in a conversation, especially if I was talking to a Latino, and
then they go to speak Spanish and you can't.
Yeah. And I'm like, no. And it was just so awkward. And I hated it every time. But you know, it was anybody. It wasn't just Latinos that it was uncomfortable. It's like anybody. It would just be like, yeah, I'm half Bolivian, but I don't speak the language. So anyhow, when I stabilized in the beginning of 2021, I just, you know, I was so, my life was so changed and I was just so re-energized because like it literally felt like, this sounds really like lofty, but like that was a new life for me. Like literally, like kind of when I stabilized, that was my life starting over in the best possible way. And literally, I literally woke up one day in like the beginning of February, and I shit you not, I woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of having that conversation. I'm learning to speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And now I'm engaged to a Bolivian woman who barely speaks English, so all of our communication is in Spanish. So, but yeah, man, you know, I appreciate anybody that's reached out to me to congratulate me. I'm so lucky, man. Honestly, I'm so lucky. She's absolutely incredible. You know, she loves and supports and takes care of me, and I do the same with her. You know, it's just the thing in our relationship. This, I'm going to have to like slow myself down so I don't start giving like unsolicited advice, but she just, let me put it this way. My main emphasis in my entire life, and you can ask any of my friends, anybody that knows me, is effective communication in any scenario. Whether that's like you trying to communicate with people in a business setting, I mean, just amongst your friends, it doesn't matter. Like, communicating effectively is so important. And obviously, it's the most important in a relationship, like a romantic relationship of whatever level. And the thing that I love the most about her is she places just as much emphasis on that as I do.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't really matter what happens. Her and I are both, you know, we're both fully confident. We both have zero doubts that we'll be able to sit down with the other one and communicate about it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's for that reason. Like, I'll go back. I'll stop gushing about us, but,
it's okay, Matt. You gosh, we're all excited for you. It's like, you're like holding yourself back.
I do, man. I want this for everybody. You know, everybody deserves this feeling that they have somebody that no matter what, even when things get really ugly or scary, or as life does, because life is like that. It gets really ugly and really scary. And she and I both, I mean, well, I'm not even going to say that because everybody has been through ugly and scary. That's not just a me and her thing. But I do, man. I want that for everybody because we all, you two people, you deserve a relationship like that. Where
absolutely
you can, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you can count on that person to be there for you and care for you and love you. And I just want that for all of us. I want that for all of us. And I'm just, I could never, words in any language could never explain, you know, how lucky I am and how much gratitude I have for her and for our relationship. So
can I play this clip at your wedding as a Substance ad?
That's a Substance ad.
Can I do the best man speech and just roll this instead?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of funny, honestly. No, but
that would be fucking stupid.
But yeah, man, I more lucky than I can say in any and all languages. I want this for everybody. I hope everybody finds this in whoever or whatever manner, you know, even if you are somebody that, you know, isn't really a relationship person.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you can find this kind of assurance, whether it be with a friend or with yourself. I mean, I think one of the things that, it's funny, man, because I've never really subscribed to the everything happens for a reason thing for a long time. After some events in my life, like since the beginning of 2021, even aside from my relationship with Pal, like I still don't quite know how I feel about it, but I'm starting to feel like we're not completely not useless. What am I trying to say? We're not, control is not completely like out of our hands. I don't know. That's a whole different thing. Yeah. But the point that I'm making is like, it's just so, this is just something that I've seen not only from my own experience, but from my friends and people I know and people that I don't know that I just know about. You know, I think if you are somebody that was where I was in that, maybe you're in a place in your life where whether you're single or in a relationship and you're just feeling really alone, and just, you know, maybe you don't have a lot of self-confidence, you know, you have a lot of problems, you have mental stuff. First of all, go to therapy. But it's just, it's so important to be able to be comfortable with yourself. And that can be incredibly hard and ugly and scary.
Yeah. I mean, everything that you're saying, you kind of have to know who you are and do a lot of self-discovery before you're able to get to a point where these things make sense.
That's kind of what I learned is, and it's not, you know, don't get it twisted. It's not to say that you can't meet somebody that is, you know, really special to you if you're not completely comfortable with who you are, but I think what I'm getting at,
if you're at a point where you're not really sure, like doing a lot of like self-discovery is definitely going to be important to,
and that's
getting yourself to a better place.
That's kind of the thing is, you know, every situation is different, obviously, but coming from somebody who thought this way every day for years, you know, you're not always going to be alone. It's just, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not, The waiting period can be horrendous. Take it from me. I know. But you know, it's like we've talked about before, man. You just find, even if you're on the fucking edge right now, every single day you're waking up, just find that one thing. Just find that one thing that all you need is one, man. Even if it's one of those things where you're like, well, I can't die because who's going to feed my cat? Like, you got to find the one thing, and the waiting period can be really ugly. But if you are genuinely putting in the work to try and address what is going on, I mean, and that's like we talked about all the time, that's a you thing. That's an effort that you have to put in, and it can be horrendously difficult some days to put that effort in. And some days you just can't even fucking do it. Some days you just can't bring yourself to put in that effort, however big or small it usually may be.
No.
But you know, again, outside of that, therapy, mental health resources, they're all out there. But in my experience, in my own experience, so this is just coming from Matt Clavijo to you, in my own experience, if you're working on that every day, it is inevitable that it will eventually improve. Yeah. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
It is. I'm here to tell you, life does not work like that if you are putting in the work from a mental standpoint. Because the thing about it is, I've talked about it on the show before, you know, there was many years where I felt like I physically just couldn't have gratitude.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't fucking do it. People would tell me, like, yeah, man, you know, you should try and write a gratitude list every day, and maybe that'll help, and this and that.
Right.
And, like, when I sat down at my desk to write it, yeah, I could write it. But it's like the minute I put the pencil – well, it's like the minute I put the pencil down and walked away from the desk – it's like it never even happened. It's not like it stuck with me. You know, so I want you guys, anybody that's struggling, to know, like, I get it. Okay, like, I was there. I understand. But, you know, that was the one thing that I never let myself, even when I was ready to check out. I'll be honest with you. Even when I was ready to check out, I would always find one little thing, even if just because I'm wearing an X-File shirt today, even if it was like, all right, well, if I wake up tomorrow, at least I can lay in my bed and watch X-Files all fucking day. Even if I'm just sad and in the dark and not communicating with anybody, I have Mulder and Scully. So
that was a phase for me. I think when I first moved to the US, that was me. I was in bed every day watching X-Files because I moved across the world and I didn't fucking know anybody. And I was like the most self-conscious, low self-esteem point of my life. I laid and watched X-Files every day. So
X-Files saved our life. Now, actually, one thing.
No, it was Scully specifically.
This is actually
the love of my life. Scully, if you're listening, hit me up, please.
His DMs are open. Excuse me. So actually,
Hold on, wait. Before we continue,
okay,
I do want to preface for any of you guys that are watching, if we look like we're sweaty, it's because it's really fucking, it is really fucking hot in the garage. Yes, this is a very deep emotional conversation. It's really hot. So that kind of just adds to the way that this might look. But I'm not saying anything right now because I'm listening to everything that Matt is saying because it's resonating a lot with me, but I'm not crying. I'm really sweaty.
He's sweating from his eyeballs. Yeah. So funny enough, since however big or small, I've never had a platform of people that I could like share something with that I find really meaningful. So this is something that I didn't ever hear about, but I kind of did it sometimes without like hearing about it in this context. I do not remember, but she is a professor from a big important university. She's a psychologist, and I don't remember her name, so I don't even know why I'm saying this part. But essentially, I'm just going to cut to the chase and try to explain it as best I can. Basically, she developed this like theory, program, system, I don't know, called Moment of Awe. Awe, like awesome kind of deal. And essentially what it is that every day, try and find 30 seconds. For me, usually it's like 15 to 30 seconds. A whole minute of this is hard to sustain. But every day, try and find something that comes into your field of vision to just kind of like appreciate how beautiful the world is. Not people, you know, not conceptually, just like if you look up and the clouds are just fucking awesome. Just sit in that for a second. Just sit in that feeling that feels like you're in a fucking movie.
What about cars?
I mean, hey, if that's what does it for you in that moment, you know, if you want to fucking be in awe of fucking engineering and how the fuck engineering works, that we came from a Model T to like what we have today, that's
because
that works. But it's
I do that. Wow. I definitely did it yesterday with my car because yesterday we went to a meet that was local to us, and it's the first time I've really like taken the LS out properly since Riverside. I had a couple moments yesterday, like either when I was driving the car or just like seeing it out in the street before we left, or like just seeing it at the meet or whatever.
And not for nothing, just to broaden it even more based on what you just said, I think, you know, I'm bringing nature into it just because I guess hearing myself now and you saying that, that's kind of mine. That's kind of where I go. But like, I think it's almost like those moments that you have in your life that just like a split second feels like a movie.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it's really easy for all of us to just like shoot that down immediately. Like, dude, life's not a fucking movie. Keep moving. Like life. No,
this weekend was a movie, bro.
It's like, no, life is not a movie. Like I mentioned earlier, it can be really scary and ugly and fucking horrible.
Right.
But you know, you're not hurting anybody by enjoying those mental movie moments.
Absolutely.
And I think that's kind of how I can explain this moment of awe thing. And it's been, you know, scientifically proven in this professor's program that it improves your mood, however slightly, but it stimulates the same part of the brain that gratitude does.
Yeah.
So like I said, if you're taking 15 to 30 seconds per day, when you have that movie moment, like when you catch the light just right, shining off your fucking VIP modulars, like just sit in that for a second. Don't shoot yourself down. Don't be like, bro, life is not a fucking movie. Life is horrible.
Well,
just take for 15 seconds, even if it takes all of your willpower.
Yeah.
Just sit there and enjoy that moment.
Yes. Well, okay. So tying that back to my car, just so I can, this is the best way for me to be able to like relate on something whenever we talk about this, is just talk about my personal experience with it. Talking about my car yesterday and then you saying, you know, instead of looking at something and seeing negatives in it or whatever, this past week, I've had like a really, really hard time thinking about my car and how it's not done, how I'm possibly going to afford to finish it. Because let's be serious, I do not have the money anymore. After everything that's happened with LEP and all this stuff since the start of the year, I don't have the money right now to commit to finishing the car. That's not to say I'm giving up on it. I'm just saying this past week has been really tough with me, like coming in and out of the garage and just seeing it sit here and just be like, great, that's, you know, that's the fucking paperweight that I put so much work into over the years, blah, blah, blah. It's so close to being done, but it's not quite there and blah, blah, blah. But taking it out yesterday and just enjoying it for what it is and experiencing, you're like, we've talked about it before, like how you can, you know, put passion and hard work and whatever into a car to make it into something that you want it to be. And then you can drive it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's exactly different about it than, you know, like a painting or whatever. You can't drive a painting, but I can create a car and I can go out and drive it. That's what I did yesterday. Like, although the painting is not finished, I went out for a drive yesterday and I loved it. It was something that I've spent so much time designing and planning properly, and to just feel it working the way I wanted it to. I was on the interstate doing 80 mile an hour and the thing's just chilling. It's chilling. And then I, you know, we get to the meet and Victoria was riding in the Majesta with Benny, and she'd taken a story of it just rolling on the interstate. And for me to see that from a different perspective and obviously have that like emotion in my head from me being inside of the car while I was driving it, after just sitting in the garage and me being kind of like bummed out about it, it like re-sparked that inspiration for me. Like, no, I still don't have a fucking, I can't figure it out right now. I don't know. I don't have the answers as to how it's going to get done or when it's going to get done.
But it's certainly better than it was stressing you
exactly,
out.
Exactly. It was that moment of awe that we talk about here, where I just appreciated what it is that I'd done, how far I've come with the car, and how much I love it. And that just solidified in my head, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to finish this thing. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. It doesn't matter how I figure it out. It's going to happen one way or another. And I'm really proud of what I've done with the car.
Yeah. As you should be. And that
was cool for me. And it's, you know, you having that conversation, obviously I've just been listening and kind of letting it resonate with me, but this is just me giving my example.
Well, no. And I mean, you bring up a great point in that, like, I know for a fact, any of us that are in modified like car, especially like lowered cars, let's be honest. Like, if we are really proud and really love our car and we're driving, we're just like cruising, got our fucking arm out the window, we're just bumping music and shit. Everybody knows that fucking feeling where you're just like, man, this just, even if I'm not cool, I feel cool right now.
Right.
Just sit in that moment is what I'm saying. Just like, don't, for 15 fucking seconds every day, don't shoot yourself down. Don't let this really dark and heavy world that we're all, you know, living in, like, distract your brain from enjoying itself even for 15 seconds. And, you know, that's just something that I've been doing a lot. I mean, I end up doing it a lot is, you know, I work outside. So it'll just be kind of like, when I look up and the sun is shining through the trees just right and the sky is beautiful, I just sit there in that moment for 15 to 30 seconds. I just sit there. And because of that, it's just like that I know, if I know that I can always find something to look at for 15 seconds, I'm not saying it's going to solve all your problems. It's absolutely not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, even if you find yourself clinging on for those 15 seconds every day, the 15 seconds is going to get longer.
Yeah.
I promise.
For sure.
I promise.
For me at least, music has helped a lot with that. Throughout my whole life, I think music has played a large part in everything. A lot of my inspirations come from music, and that's not saying like, oh, I listen to a song and it gives me an idea directly. It's just music helps my brain to relax and then fixate on certain things specifically. And I don't know if I have ADHD. I have no idea. Obviously Benny does. We've talked about that before. But music has always helped me to relax and think about things in a way that then, you know, causes me to get inspired and excited and want to do things. And obviously it varies on the type of music and the mood that you're in, but yeah, music has been a huge help for me. And kind of like you were saying, if you're outside doing work or whatever, if I was listening to music, if I had my headphones in, I'm listening to music and I was doing that kind of work, I feel like that would happen to me all the time.
Yeah.
Like I would take
you
those,
just have those moments.
Yeah. I would just have those moments. So yeah, I'm sure you guys have probably already thought of listening to music, but it just it helps
well,
me a lot.
Well, it's
so
funny because then this is just an aside, but I was talking to Pal about this. I am so lucky and grateful that everybody, okay, anybody that knows what lo-fi is.
Yes.
So many people have like, I feel like it goes three directions. It's either like lo-fi beats to study and relax to on YouTube while you're studying. So it just kind of becomes like really soft ambient background noise.
Yep.
And then you have people that are just not about it a lot of times because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like, yeah, it just kind of like puts me to sleep. Like I just can't. And then you have people like me where it's like, I actively listen to and seek out lo-fi. Lo-fi is one of my favorite genres of music ever. Mm. And I honestly consider myself so lucky for that. And shout out to anybody that agrees with and like knows about what I'm talking about with what I'm about to say. But like lo-fi, if you are somebody that like appreciates it and can like listen to it like you listen to music, is awesome music to just fucking exist to.
Yeah.
Like if you are one of the things that happens to me, and this is like moments of awe where I just don't even have to try, is if you're driving, and this is for me, but it's like if I'm driving and I'm listening to lo-fi, like I have these moments where like my vision just kind of like fucking opens up into a wide angle. And all of a sudden, it's just me in a fucking movie, just driving, just seeing this stuff. And it would be, even saying it out loud, like a little part of my brain is like, yo, don't be that guy. Be that, you're not.
You're living in your own fucking world. As long as you're not hurting other people, then just
it doesn't
exist
matter
in that moment.
And it doesn't matter. You're not hurting yourself and you're not hurting other people. Like, and that's my thing, you guys, is that I know that it, especially if you have low self-esteem for any reasons, this can be so difficult, but like, it's so important to try and remember that if you find things in your head that make you feel better, mm-hmm. if you're not hurting anybody and you're not hurting yourself, if it's not like a destructive mental habit,
right.
You know, a moment of awe, appreciating that for 15 seconds, your life feels like a fucking movie. Just do that shit, man. You're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting you. And being happy for 15 seconds when the rest of your life feels like shit sounds like a pretty good deal.
I actually want to use that to transition into something that I want to talk about today.
Our sponsor, Wheel Press.
No, actually.
I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Although it'll tie in later. But
yeah, by all means.
While Matt was away, and I did mention this in the last episode, I went to Helen for the first time. And specifically talking about Alpine Volksfair, which some of you guys will know back in the day as SOWO. Southern Wörthersee. Obviously, the show from, I never got to go to the original one. I've never been at all. I've never been to Helen. I have had many friends that have been to the real Wörthersee. I'd actually planned to go to the real Wörthersee in 2016, but I ended up moving to the US at the end of 2015. And so that didn't work out. I've never been to either. I've always wanted to go to Helen. And then, you know, as soon as SOWO was over, which was 2015 was the last year that they did SOWO. That's when it went super, like from what I've heard from everybody. Were you there?
I was.
Okay.
It
was 2015. That was when it was like a riot, basically.
So it was unbelievably chaotic. Anybody that has not been to Helen, Georgia, it's very small. It's a very small place. And it's kind of like a, they have it there because the theme It's kind of like a small tourist city. And the theme is Germany.
Yeah.
Just kind of like Alpine stuff. The architecture is the same. You know, they have so the thing about it, it's so small that there is one road in and out of it.
Yes. One road
goes straight through.
Right. And then there's like a little loop road that then on has the side, like, yeah. You know, condos and hotels on
but,
it.
So they have this one main road. The last, I believe it was the last night of SoWo in 2015, I was hanging out in, and I mean, it was kind of like before this, it was like really gradual. Like there was just every year there was more people, as happens.
Yeah.
But you know, there was just like more people walking around super drunk. There was like more burnouts going on, like in the loop, which is basically like Ocean City has the strip. Helen, the strip is like the main road, but then there's also like this loop. The
side road, yeah.
So there was just like more people just doing burnouts back there, more people like egging them on to do burnouts back there. Like, so anyhow, later that night, I'm in a hotel room with like three of my friends, and we walk outside to go to Wendy's, and there's just like a mob of people up on the main road. And so we were like, yo, what the fuck is going on? So we like walk up there and there's people just doing standing fucking burnouts in the main road. The mob is blocking the main road to get in and out of Helen.
Yeah.
And it got to a point when, and I saw this with my eyes. So you can call bullshit if you want, but I saw this with my eyes that there was eventually a point where, you know, there was normal ass people trying to get through this.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, if they were letting them through at all, it was really, you know, they were making it really difficult for them. And I remember seeing like, it was a Toyota Sienna and it was like a mom and I guess like two kids, whatever. And I'm watching them like inch their way through all the people and people start banging on their windows. Like with their palms.
That shit's, if you're just a pedestrian trying to drive through somewhere, that's fucking terrifying.
And so this is, you know, this is a small town. So it was like, and I, to this day, I don't fully understand this. The way cops usually work is like arrest now, talk later. But like, I have no idea. There were very few cops there because of how small the town is. It was so out of control and there was so few of them that they kind of went up there, got on the speaker on the patrol car and said some shit like, you have another minute of this and everybody's, you know, until everybody gets arrested.
Yeah.
So they used that minute to do more burnouts.
Right.
And so it's like, I'll say it again. Helen is a very small town. There's one road in and out. That one road in and out in a small town that survives because of tourism had burnout marks up and down that whole main road.
Right.
So, unsurprisingly, the city of Helen was like, you are never having an event here ever again.
Right.
Ever. Understandably.
Yeah. No. The reason that I wanted to bring this up and talk about it is, I want to get into my experience of my first time in Helen and how it was this year. But two, one of the big things I want to talk about that I know is on a lot of people's minds right now, as far as people that have been going for years and other people that may be interested in going. SoWo, back in the day, has been known for a long time for being a really, really great event.
Super grassroots.
And it got to a point where it got out of control. Now we're at a point where the event is happening again. It's obviously under a different name. It's not exactly the same as it used to be. It's a lot more chill. But I know that a lot of people are concerned that it may get the same way that it did. And I want to kind of dive into like, hey, how did it get the way that it did? And how can we stop that from happening again? And I don't know. I want to dive into my perspective on it and like my experience with the weekend, just as somebody coming for the first time and somebody who's been, you know, to a lot of different types of events. I consider my perspective on car shows a little bit unique to maybe some of the other people that have been to Helen. I mean, yes, there's a lot of people that have been to Alpine Volkswagen and SOWO that have been to shows in Europe, but I grew up in the UK. I've spent time looking at events in the UK and in Europe and going to events in Europe too. And I will say right off the bat, this, my weekend in Helen was the first time since I've left Europe that I went to a car show that felt kind of similar to how some of the events were over there, in the sense that, you know, when I'd go to like Edition 38, which is a big Volkswagen show in the UK, it's in like a field and everybody camps and the show is right there. And everybody who, you know, is in the camping area also brings their cars. And it's kind of just a really fun weekend where like the whole community is in one place. You don't really have ever have to like leave to go anywhere unless you're going to get like some groceries or whatever. You're all just hanging out and you don't have to like worry about really driving anywhere. You kind of just walk around, catch up with people, talk to other, you know, car owners, you look at cars. This was the first time since I've been in the US that I experienced that again, because Helen is so small, you know, everybody kind of stays within the same area. You can just walk around and see all of the cars, mm-hmm. and you can meet the owners and talk to people. And like just the lifestyle of the event is incredible. And for me, being somebody who isn't a Volkswagen person, although yes, I spent a lot of time at Volkswagen events when I was in the UK and in Europe, that's because that's what is biggest over there. And that, you know, all of the car shows, at least back then, were focused around Volkswagen shows because those were the guys that were doing aesthetics. You know, the Japanese stuff was, it was, you were into drifting or that was it. And so it was all VAG fairs, or not VAG fairs, it was all VAG shows in the UK and Europe because those are the aesthetic guys. And so that's the scene that I got involved with. And I really enjoyed it. I love seeing people express themselves through those cars. And you know, it's not my thing specifically. I'm not, you know, the type of person that's going to go buy a Mark One Golf and you know, do the stuff that these guys do, BBS RSs, Porsche door handles, all of that stuff. And that, I'm not trying to take away from that community. I really do think that the stuff that they do is sick. And I saw a lot of cars that I really, really enjoyed. But I really appreciated the lifestyle side of it. I really appreciated that community. I really appreciated how well maintained and how well behaved everybody was. And more on that, you know, for example, the Saturday night, which is the night that I expected it to get a little bit out of control. And you know, I'd heard rumors that, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, this year it might get a little crazy because a little bit more people here. It was a concern of mine. I was kind of just like bracing myself for it mm-hmm. to happen. I was like, okay, is this going to get out of control? You know, what's going to happen? And all of the nights prior to that, I was there Thursday to Sunday. And every night we were hanging out there, you know, we're sitting, you know, next to the road, hanging out with people. We got our chairs, we're drinking, whatever, nothing too crazy. At the end of every single night, I made sure, which shout out to Pete. We had Pete on air, Speedy Pete. He actually brought trash bags around to all of the groups, at least on our street. I don't know if he drove around the whole town and did this, but he brought trash bags to everybody on our street. At the end of the night, when we got done, we were about to go to bed, we walked up and down the street and cleaned up like all of the, any beer cans, bottles, whatever, anything that was left out, we cleaned up. And, I was just really concerned that Saturday night was going to get super out of control and bad shit was going to start happening. And I didn't want to see that. I'd really enjoyed my days there leading up to it, mm-hmm. just kind of hanging out, talking to people. And, it gets to Saturday night. I see the crowd starting to form after the event, and it's right where the, we were staying in the condos that are a little bit further down. Well, not really. That, you know, I don't know how to explain this. I feel like people listening that have been to Helen probably know, but
they probably
I don't
do,
know how to explain it because I don't know the road names or the names of the places.
Yeah, I would just be general about it.
Where all the public parking lots are, basically next to the river, across from where the show field is, there's like a speed bump in there. And there was crowds kind of gathering around that park because obviously everybody who's not staying right there has kind of parked their cars there for the day. And I was like, man, people are going to start doing burnouts. I really don't want to see this. And, funny enough, it kind of just seemed like a lot of people were gathering there because they just wanted to see cars drive over the speed bump, which is honestly awesome.
So wholesome. So wholesome.
Who doesn't enjoy seeing, you know, low or low-ish cars potentially scraping or you know, what cars do scrape, what cars don't scrape on the speed bump. That's just cool. But the thing that surprised me most, and it made me so happy, is that night, collectively, I saw three people attempt to do a burnout, two of which were BMWs. One was a Mark IV. They attempted to do a burnout.
And people jumped down their throat, right?
The entire crowd. I was up on the balcony for two of these. We were staying on like the top floor of one of the condos. We had this really nice balcony. I could look down the street and see everything that was going on. I saw these burnouts attempt to happen, and the entire crowd booed them. Like, collectively, we're just like, boo. Everybody's yelling at them. There was a dude down the street with a really bright flashlight, just flashing it in the dude's eyes.
And that's the thing.
It made me so happy.
The reason for that is because everybody there, there's some down-ass Volkswagen fools are like, we've already done this. Right. This is why they took Soho away. You are not going to be the fucking reason that they take this away.
Absolutely.
Too.
Dude, that made me so happy because I haven't seen that happen at any other events. Like, it was one thing for me to experience this event in the sense of like community where you're like all staying in the same area. Sorry. It was another thing to just see everybody self-policing an event. Like, there really isn't that much in the way of police there. And, you know, we saw cops sitting around and like, what can they do, really? They just have to sit and watch what's going on and make sure it's cool. But to see everybody else hanging out there, like protecting the event like that, mm-hmm. was fucking awesome. And I met so many people that weekend that I was genuinely surprised. And this was something that concerned me. As somebody who came to the event that did not bring a Volkswagen, I don't own a Volkswagen. I also did not bring like a regular car because I don't own a regular car. If I had the choice, that's what I would have done. No, I'm saying like if I could pull up in whatever, I don't know, a Prius and then just tuck it in the back parking lot, I absolutely would. But I don't have a Prius. I have a interesting JDM car that happens to be bone stock. Thankfully, it's not anything flashy. I was worried that this is something that I've experienced in my past, right? I've been to these shows in Europe where I've driven a car that is not part of the Volkswagen crowd and it has been vandalized because it's not part of that. And specifically, I went to VW Days years and years back and I took my Ford Focus. That's my car. That's all I have, right? I filmed one of the coolest after movies of that event. My car was vandalized that weekend because it wasn't a Volkswagen. And this was something that concerned me about this weekend was like, I know, like, I don't want to see this mob mentality, these big crowds going crazy. And then people see that I've brought a JDM car because that's my only fucking car. And then them, you know, do some dumb shit to it because like, you're not a fucking Volkswagen. Get out of here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I did not experience that whatsoever. The amount of people that I had conversations with who were people that were so deep into Volkswagens and had some of the craziest cars there were so open and welcoming to people who are just genuine enthusiasts. I'm not saying these dudes are like, hey, bring your imports to Helen. No, not at all. But that, like, I get into a conversation with somebody and be talking to them about their car, you know, just asking them tons of questions. And they're like, oh, this, you know, this dude is really interested. And they'll be like, what did you drive here? You know, what do you have? And I was like, oh man, I have that Crown Majesta that's over there. It's next to my buddy's Y33 Q45. I was like, I hate being that guy. And they're like, oh dude, don't worry about it. And we'll walk over there and go look at it. And they're like just super interested. They're just down to earth enthusiasts that like cars. And they could tell that, you know, I wasn't there to cause any problems and they're just cool and accepting. And that was awesome. And I experienced that all weekend. There really wasn't anybody that was like an asshole because I wasn't a Volkswagen person.
Yeah.
And the only time that I really experienced any kind of like resentment towards the import stuff was after the event, just seeing stuff that people had posted online where it's like, oh, there's so many fucking BMWs that came to town to do dumb shit or whatever, or there are so many people in imports up on the mountain roads that were just like ruining it, blah, blah, blah. And I personally didn't see that, and I understand that yes, there are people in those communities that are there because they see maybe a good time, and I'll call them the opportunists. They see an event going on and see the potential for them to have fun, maybe annoying people or whatever. I'm just saying, don't group everybody together because like a lot of us, we just go there because it's a good time. We're enthusiasts. We want to hang out with people. We want to talk cars. And I had a blast. And I don't know where I'm going with that now.
No, but it's just like, I want to say it's Soho too, but I feel like somebody somewhere would be like, oh, I did not. Yeah. Well, but it's just, it has the evolved vibes of what Soho was before it got out of control. And it's just like, the idea of like the self-policing is such a beautiful thing, because you know what? These dudes that do burnouts could have their whole fucking squad of idiots over there cheering them on.
Yeah.
They're going to get drowned out by the whole fucking show telling them to fuck off with that.
I would like, hope so.
And that's the thing. I mean, all of us, me and Liam, you, all of us, bitch about burnouts and shit for obvious fucking reasons.
Right.
But a lot of times, that's where it ends. You bitch to your friends, or you're like, God, what the fuck is the point? Or you go on, you know, social media and like, hey, shout out to the dickhead that did this,
right,
and this.
Right, as I said, not a lot of people are like really like stand up to
it. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you should definitely still do that. But what they did is what is actually going to cause.
They made anybody
a difference.
Anybody that attempted to do something stupid,
was they made you to look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, they made you feel embarrassed, so you wouldn't do it.
And so that is something that. And you want to know the best part about that too?
What?
Is anybody knows what I'm talking about. It's so easy to jump into a group or a mob of people doing or saying something because you don't have to worry about individual consequences.
Yeah.
Usually that's not really a good thing. Generally speaking, that when people are into jumping into mobs or groups or whatever, unless everybody's fucking dancing or something, it usually is probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
But in the case of booing or otherwise making that person feel fucking stupid, booing somebody doing a burnout in a group, at some point you're going to be like, yeah, fuck this guy. Like, and you're just going to jump in and boo them. And it's like, no, I'm not saying gang up on this person and start beating on their car or anything.
No, but not at all.
What it's I'm just saying is like this public embarrassment stuff is awesome, and it's really fucking easy if you're doing it as a part of a group. And in this scenario, that's what's most effective.
Exactly. This is like the thought process of behind somebody who goes to an event and decides to do a burnout. They see a large crowd of people who are probably excited, and they're like, oh, you know what will get them more excited, or you know what will, you know, I don't know, spark some kind of emotion or give them some kind of attention, is doing a burnout. Well, when they do that and they get the entire opposite like reaction than they expected, they're not going to fucking do that thing again, at least not at that event. They're like, oh, damn, okay, yeah, I won't do that. That's
not the crowd. Especially if they know their car is like really distinct.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get the fuck out of Dodge, man, because they'll be like, now everybody knows that it was me that did that.
Yeah. And no, it was a good feeling to see that happen. And I hope, I really do hope that it continues that way. And I did actually, I hung out with the guys from Wheel Price while I was down there.
Once again,
a bunch.
One day, guys, one day I'll meet you. I promise.
Well, we're going to make something happen soon. But, I was talking to Kyle after the weekend and, you know, was asking, you know, as your first time in Helen too, how was it for you? And Kyle had brought his, Ferrari 360, which it's a Euro car. It's not a Volkswagen. And he wasn't being an asshole with it. He was cruising around with the other guys, and they have Hondas, and obviously that doesn't fit in too, but great guys. They're there for the same reasons that we are, just true enthusiasts. And he said the weekend was great. He really enjoyed it. But he said there was one thing that happened that he didn't like. And there was a guy in that crowd of people. I don't know if this was the whole weekend or one night or one day specifically, but there was a guy that was holding up a sign that said honk for cream pie. And
oh no.
To me, from my perspective, without hearing anything else on that, I'm just thinking like, oh, that's just like a funny sign, and you honk if you want a cream pie. And I'm not thinking
it just like throws a fucking pie in your car.
Yeah.
No. Wait, no, that was real?
Yeah, literally.
Yo, what the fuck?
That is some asshole shit.
What
so
the fuck?
This, I'm sure this probably happened to a couple of people that weekend. And I'm hoping whoever was doing this, somebody called them out on their bullshit. But that's not okay. Like, don't, what like holding fuck? Up a sign on one thing. Like, if the sign is just there to make
what
people laugh.
What is the point of that?
Right.
I don't understand who leaves the house.
Exactly.
Thinking about doing
no,
that.
No, and I know exactly what it is. It's to try and get a reaction out of someone. It's holding up a sign that's going to make people laugh. They may honk because the sign is funny. And then when you throw a fucking cream pie in their car, they come out and confront you. And you're like, well, you honked, so you agreed to it. It's that kind of bullshit that is like not okay. And that unfortunately happened to Kyle while he was driving around. He saw the sign, thought it was funny, and honked. Somebody threw a fucking cream pie in his Ferrari. He stopped and he said that they'd got out and like tried to find who it was or something. I don't know the details, but that's not okay. Like people doing that shit. And I really hope that somebody like confronted that person that was doing that, because that shit's not cool. Like it's one like if a sign is funny, that's fine, you can hold up your sign. I saw a sign there that had like they had a shit car counter. I'm not gonna say that's okay either, but to me it was funny when we drove by in Ashton's truck. We were running somewhere to grab something and we were coming back and they held it up at the truck and we're like and then they didn't give us a tick, and I just thought it was funny. I didn't think that they were actually like putting marks for shit cars that drove by. That's kind of an asshole thing to do.
Far less harmless than
right. I thought they just had like markings on there already, and then they were just debating whether they. It was like the you ever seen that meme where it's a dude, the kid with the glasses on, who's just standing there like looking all hench, and he's like, "Should I let them in?" It's like that's kind of the way I took it. I thought they just had the markings on there, and they weren't actually like they were just doing that to every car, like, "Oh, does he pass? Does he not pass?" And that was that.
Was the guy physically throwing the pies? Was he just like hiding in the crowd?
I have no idea.
Because how the fuck did that dude not catch hands multiple times?
I don't
know.
I did not personally see it, but that's some fucked up shit. Like, just because, like, if somebody's honking because they think the sign is funny.
This has always been my thing. Always.
Crowds of people bring opportunists.
I am not a violent person. I'm not a violent person, but I would rather you confront me or get physical with me than vandalize my car. When you fuck with my car, I have to pay for that. So not only did you fuck my car up, now I have to pay.
Right.
So it's like two level. Like, if you want to do that shit, just come confront me. Like, come up to my face and confront me. But it's like the idea.
What even for, though?
The idea. But do you understand the point that I'm making? Right. The point that I'm making is don't fuck with somebody's car.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it doesn't make,
but anyway,
that just doesn't make any sense.
To get off of the negative, I do want to shout out Wheel Price because they are the sponsor of this show.
Aha.
It was awesome hanging out with those guys over the weekend, and the reason that I say that we're gonna try and make something happen soon is because I want to try and plan a trip to Charlotte like relatively soon, for all of us. Like, I want me, you, and Benny to go. Just because between Speedy Pete and, hanging out with him and the Wheel Price guys, we could have a really good weekend where I feel like we could probably record a good few episodes and just have a good time. I want to make that happen soon. But yeah, Wheel Price, if you guys didn't know, they're a sponsor of this show and we absolutely love them. They're a great group of enthusiasts where they came up with this app that is for buying and selling wheels. And it's not just Volkswagen specific. It's any kind of wheels, whether that's, cool OEM wheels or old three-piece wheels, work wheels, BBSs, SRs, whatever it is, right? Any kind of wheels for enthusiast vehicles, they're on that app. And the reason we have them as a sponsor is because we want to grow this app and see the community get better. This app can only get better and that community can only get better if you guys go and join it. So if you are in the market for your next set of wheels or you're looking to sell a set of wheels, Wheel Price is the place to do it. It's set up real intuitively. It's all over the world. It's not just the US. We want to see more people get on that and it helps everybody. Like, if you want to sell your wheels, you don't have to deal with Marketplace or Craigslist or Instagram and just the back and forth messaging that is oftentimes frustrating. It's just a place for enthusiasts to go to list wheels, and it's a place for enthusiasts to go to buy wheels. So yeah, go check out the app. All of the links are in the description below, and hopefully we're going to go to Charlotte and meet up with the guys soon, and we'll get them on this episode to where they can talk a lot more about who they are, what this app is, and, you know, everything to do with that and why you guys should support it. But yeah, they've been great to us, and we love working with them.
I just can't wait to meet them. I can't wait.
Kyle did joke. He was like, man, I'm starting to question if Matt's a real person. Cause just,
I'm fucking AI.
Yeah. I'm really good at AI stuff. I created Matt.
Beep boop.
But no, we're excited to do that. And we love them. So yeah, you guys, go check out the links. Please go join the app. Awesome, awesome guys. And go follow them on Instagram, because they've been posting some really cool content from Helen, actually. But yeah, moving on from that, a little bit more into Helen. I want to kind of maybe go over.
I'm starting to feel the heat waves.
It is so warm.
Like, I'm starting to get those fucking heat waves that go from your head all the way down your body.
It is very, very warm in this garage. And the fan is on, but it is pointing
directly at the camera.
Yeah, it's pointing directly at the camera because the camera has now overheated a couple of times on the episode. And I was filming yesterday with Ben. We were doing another drive and shoot. It overheated and shut off like 6 times. And it wasn't even that hot yesterday. We were in the shade. So yeah, that makes me a little bit nervous, because I can't afford to go and buy another camera right now, and I literally rely on my camera for a living. So yeah, hopefully this is fine, and we'll just suffer and sweat a little bit so that the camera can stay on. But yeah, I want to talk more specifically about, you know, maybe how SoWo got to the point that it did, what happened. And now what is happening, and how do we stop it from ever getting to the point that it did in 2015? And obviously neither of us are like talking from the perspective of people who are directly involved with the event. We're not Volkswagen enthusiasts. So take everything we say with a grain of salt, because I know that there's Volkswagen people out there that are far more involved with that than we are. And we want to hear you guys' perspectives too.
Well, like, for my side, keep in mind too, anything that I add to this conversation is going to be information from Alpine Bag Fair from 2 years before this, mm-hmm. or like, I went to the last two. I don't remember when we had the pandemic, when it did or didn't happen. But then before that, I had been going to SoWo since 2013.
Okay.
So I was not with them this past weekend. So, I was in Mexico.
Disclaimer, we're not talking from the perspective of people who have been every single year. We haven't seen every single thing that's happened. A lot of the things that I may talk on will be either hearsay, things I've heard from people, or stuff that I've kind of witnessed in any kind of like social media content, whether that's after movies that have come out or vlogs or people's stories from these events, just things that I have seen and me like basically getting a perspective from the observations of those. And then my personal experience from going this year, my first time there. But yeah, I guess I'll start by saying that my like impression of SoWo from years back was entirely based on the after movies that came out from 1, Crispy, and 2, Mike Koziel. And those videos back in the day, for me, you know, event aside, were very inspirational. You know, I just enjoyed seeing them capture the lifestyle around a car event. And that's what made it appealing to me, was the hanging out with your friends, going to the mountains, really pretty areas, going and doing these shoots. That's what appealed to me. All of the partying and all of that stuff, didn't really care for it. I just figured that comes with that, you know, an event of that caliber. And so I never really thought all that much of it. And this is, you know, 2013, 14, leading up to 15. These are the videos that I'm seeing and talking about. The partying to me wasn't something that appealed, but because I lived in a different country, it wasn't ever really like a thing where I was like, oh, I need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I need to act on this.
Of course, right? And we do the same thing. When you watch events that happen in other countries, you're not actively thinking like, oh man, fuck these guys are ruining the event. It wasn't until I moved here and obviously saw what happened and got shut down and an event that I had looked up to going to for a long time, I then could no longer attend because it didn't exist. Fast forward, 2016 was like the first year that I was like in the US. They had the European experience in
Savannah.
And I did debate going. And at the time, I didn't have a job. I really didn't have that many connections here. And so me picking and choosing the events that I was going to go to was very much based on me making like a really good cinematic after movie of those events. And so I was looking really for the events that I thought were going to help me the most with my reputation and stuff. And this is just from my experience. I know this obviously sounds very selfish, but that's where I was at. I was poor and I was looking to, well, to build a reputation for myself.
If I could say something, so I went to
European experience.
Yeah. I went to UX in Savannah. I don't remember. It was like the first year I think that they did it. That was the only year that I went. And it was weird. I mean, this is honestly how it goes with SOA for a lot of people. Like, they won't even go to the show.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that because the meat and potato, I'm not saying that. The main draw to SOA and Alpine Vag Fair is, you know, Helen and doing like Helen stuff with your friends with cars. UX, I did not go to the show. I heard from everybody that went to the show that it was like that year. I don't remember which year, so maybe that'll help not targeting anything. I don't remember what year, but a lot of my friends were saying that it was like inconvenient to get there and the show was kind of mid anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't remember the name of the area. There was an area, like a beach area on the other side of the bridge from Savannah. Was it Tybee Island? Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That sounds familiar.
I spent more time on Tybee Island hanging out with my friends that Sean Howell, we were doing a Not Fast feature on his bagged Ford Probe GT.
Mm-hmm.
And then oh my God, I can't remember his first name in real life. I'm so sorry, dude. But Dory Roadster. Some people might know who that is. Some people probably don't.
That's my fucking dude.
Yeah. What's his first name?
I don't know.
Anyway. So I was just meeting them for the first time at UX. Like, I basically went because Sean was going to be there and I wanted to do the feature on his car.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was like Savannah. Have you ever been to Savannah?
No, I've actually
been to Savannah. So Savannah, Georgia is an absolutely beautiful city.
Yeah.
I love it in Savannah. The thing about it is, unlike Helen, it's much bigger than Helen. So it's just like, it's not
going to have that close-knit feeling.
The cars that you would like see around, like you're going to see them around, but it's not like inevitable.
Yeah.
You'd
have to kind of search out to find cars.
Right. Whereas Tybee Island was definitely smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew where all the car people were because everybody was just like ganging up on like Airbnbs.
Yeah.
All on like these two strips of like houses and complexes and stuff. So I was basically over there the whole time. And I had a great time. I met a bunch of like new friends through Sean and Dory.
Yeah.
And so that was awesome, but that was the only time that I ever went.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really bothered to go back. And it was a weird feeling to me because like shout out, I Mason probably knows his name. I do not know his name, but unbelievably massive shout out to the guy who was doing so well
And I think his name's Paul. Mason has talked him up, and he has been responsible for a lot of very, very well done. Yes. So, I think he does Eurotripper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's responsible for a lot of very good Volkswagen events.
Yeah. So shout out to Paul, because he's killing it. He's been killing it every year. And like Liam just said, the events he puts on are just really, really good.
Yeah.
But when UX happened, it's kind of like, I feel like it was one of those things where, at least for me, because Solo was like occupied such a special place for me and like how it felt to be there.
Yeah.
When it made the move to like Savannah and it was so much more spread out and just not at all the same vibe, just for obvious reasons. I mean, it's not the same area. It's not the same surroundings, you know? But yeah, it was just kind of like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with UX. It's just not Solo and it never will be. I didn't really have an overwhelming desire to go back and drive all the way down there.
And that's why I didn't go, I held off going that year because, like I said, I didn't have a whole lot of money. And the main thing for me was I was trying to build a reputation as a filmmaker in the US. And so for me, it would have been a risk to go down there and film like an after movie. And I don't have a friend group I could go with or anybody that guaranteed me to like get shoots with cars or whatever. So I didn't go. And, you know, now that I look at that perspective, that was a lot younger me, a more immature me, where I was just hungry for any opportunity. And it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going there because I wanted to film people do dumb stuff. If dumb stuff happened, yeah, I probably would have filmed it. But that was a different time for me and a different mindset. But yeah, I didn't go because I wanted to see how it went that first year. And then when I heard and saw some stuff from it, I was like, oh, it's not quite the same as what I wanted, which was, you know, so well, it's a lifestyle event, and it just seemed like a really good time. How many years did they do European experience?
I don't know. I want to say, so what, that was what? That was
2016. And then I want to say they did it in 2017.
So too? Maybe, oh Lord. I'm so sorry.
It's the heat.
Maybe. Yeah, no kidding. Maybe 2 years, I guess, two or three. I mean,
like, I don't know exactly.
All cards on the table, like, after the year that I went, I didn't really keep up with it anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
did people start going back to Helen on that same day?
Here was the thing, right? There was two different demographics that were still systematically going to Helen. I know that Mason and Carly and their friend group would regularly go up to Helen just as a friend group around whenever Soa would have been.
Yeah.
Just to kind of do their thing.
Yeah.
Well,
they didn't need the show to be happening. They just wanted to be in the mountains.
What was
and enjoy themselves.
Strange to me. What was very strange to me is, and this is not throwing shade, this was just strange in my brain, like how this worked out. But Helen Import Show, or Helen Import something.
Helen Import Day. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm hearing that they're having a show up there. And I'm like, so not only are they like letting somebody have a car show again, like, You're letting Japanese import cars have a car show again, like after what happened. I thought that was super weird. But I mean, at the time I was like, I mean, all right, like I'll go check it out because I want to be in Helen for a car show again. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was nowhere near what Soa was. It just wasn't. I mean, granted, that was the first year too, but it just, there was no way, you can't recreate that feeling with a totally different dynamic.
No.
If I remember correctly, the first year it stayed relatively under control, which I was happy about just for the sake of this small town. But it was always really strange to me that not only were they letting car shows happen again, like they let an import show happen first. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that became an annual thing, Helen Import Day.
I think it still is.
Yeah, no, it is. I saw a thing for it the other day.
I haven't. I've seen pictures and like a couple videos from it. It doesn't just from the quality of cars alone hasn't been something that's appealed to me.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to a car show, I quite enjoy seeing like really high end cars, and I haven't seen anything that has like directly drawn me to that. And that's nothing to slight them at all. It's just
how
Volkswagens you might not be my thing, but I can really appreciate very well done cars, and you know,
yeah. Well,
my Volkswagen brings that out.
Look, we've talked about this. Import, I mean, granted, it's not like Volkswagens are crazy expensive, but there are a lot of different kinds of import cars, especially Japanese cars, and the barrier to entry is much lower.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of these chassis, they're cool. Just in their stock form, a lot of these chassis are just like considered a lot more cool and appealing to like a younger demographic than Volkswagens are.
Yeah.
Like from what I've seen and just my perspective between, you know, the UK, Europe and the US, on the whole, the Volkswagen scene is people who are a lot more mature. It is people who have maybe even been through their like Honda phase or been through their import phase, and they kind of settle on Volkswagens because it's like a really tight-knit community. It's all like, it's been around for a very, very long time. There's a lot of history revolved around mm-hmm. it. There's a lot of very good events. And then the cars themselves, you know, it's not crazy flashy stuff, although some of the cars are. It's just, it's like simple, tasteful stuff. And I think that appeals to a lot more mature audience, whereas the import stuff, where it's unfortunately a lot more about doing flashy and loud mm-hmm. shit and stuff that grabs your attention, it appeals to a more immature audience. So we do tend to, and I'm not trying to group anybody together. I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, mature people in the import scene. I'm just trying to say, like, I'm trying to generalize just based off of observations that I've made.
Yeah.
Well, it's for the import scene tends to be a little bit more immature.
Yeah. It's for the sake of the point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the first year that I went, honestly, I mean, there were some gems in the show itself. Because really? I remember, yeah, at that point in time, I was still like shooting with a DSLR.
Mm-hmm.
And I just one photo popped into my head where it was a Pandem EG Civic
mm-hmm.
with like the fucking F1 orange and white Marlboro livery on it. And it was fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
And I just remember there was like gems like that, like hiding all over that show. And I thought that was really cool. And like I said, I guess it was fine because nothing's popping out in my head like 2015 Sobo as far as like people acting a fool.
Yeah. Well, also, another thing to add for like Helen Import Day is Helen is a German town, as we have mentioned.
Right. And this doesn't make a lot of sense.
The point
kind of
riding
the coattails.
The point of Sobo. Is SOWO stands for Southern Worthersea. It was an American answer to Worthersea in the US. You know, Worthersea is a massive event that's happened for like 50 years or whatever in Austria, in the mountains, in the city. I think the lake is called Worthersea. I don't remember exactly. I think the lake is called Worthersea, and then the town is Velden, and it's just something that's happened for a really long time. And I think SOWO was like the recreation of that in the US. And Helen Import Day, I mean, it's just
the
aesthetic doesn't match.
It doesn't
up exactly.
really go. Yeah. But I mean, I think even if Helen Import Day organizers are listening to this, you guys can agree with me that location was chosen because it's awesome
mm-hmm.
and because so many people know it's awesome.
Right.
That it's a great place to have a car show.
It is, absolutely.
And it would have, you know, that never would have been disputed until SOWO 2015. But anyway. So, yeah, that first year is really cool. But it was the first year.
Mm.
It was the first year. So there are going to be, just statistically, there are going to be much less people there because it's the first year, less people know about it.
Right.
I haven't been since then. And to be honest with you, I haven't heard one way or another. I really hope it's still chill. If I know the import community, that is probably not the case, at least to some degree.
But again, it is, you know, big crowds attract opportunists. As things, we've talked about this with a lot of different subjects. You know, when we talked about social media and how it's affected, you know, car culture, a lot of what came into that is how accessible things were and how you know, when big crowds of people come together and make something collectively seem like it's cool, it obviously will attract bad people. And so that is something that I think a lot of people that have been going to Helen for these European events for a long time are kind of expecting might happen again. I think that just from what I was gauging off of a few people that I hung out with over the weekend that I was in Helen, is these were people that had been going for 10 years, pretty much. Yeah. And they were of the perspective that this year might be the last year where it is still chill. Like, it's still what it should be before, like, next year people see that it was really good and more people show up. And of course, what comes with that is the opportunists that are there to show off and be idiots. And I want to try and like look at that and try and figure out what it is exactly and how we can, like, as a community, help preserve the event for being that chill, relaxed, good time where you can have fun, but you can have fun respectfully. And I don't know. I can't sit here and be like, oh yeah, next year is going to be fucking insane. I haven't been going for 10 years. I haven't seen the patterns. I've only heard things.
You know what I just thought about?
What?
What if every show, you know how every show even meets in like the ads for it have like the little 3-point list of rules, like no burnouts, no revving, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What if there was like a really clever way to say boo anybody that does a burnout?
No,
because it's like, you have to put no burnouts.
Right.
But then you do boo anyone that does a burnout. And people, you have to know that at least some people are going to be like, well, it's in the rules.
Right. So there's a good point here, because the more and more, this is another thing that I consider with even like recording this episode, is the more that we talk about this, could this even attract people to come into town that just want to piss people off? They see an event that's really good that they can't be a part of specifically because they're not a Volkswagen enthusiast, when they see it as an opportunity to annoy people. Because, well, I've seen that happen a lot.
But here's the thing. Whether they're, you know, get high off of annoying people.
Yeah.
If they do a burnout, everybody at that show is still going to be on their ass. Right.
But I'm saying that doesn't stop them from coming and doing the burnout.
But.
And then we all get grouped together in the same thing. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Well, at the end of the day, regardless of how we feel about that, if somebody decides they're going to come in and be fucking annoying and do a burnout, they're going to do it. It doesn't matter what happens. So that's, I see what you're saying, but it's kind of a moot point for that one, because like, people are going to do it either way. But what I was going to say is, with the self-policing and being on the ass of anybody that does a burnout, first of all, like I said, if they have a distinct car, Helen is small enough that anywhere they go, people are going to be giving them shit.
Right.
And even if you like that shit, eventually you are going to get annoyed of people getting you shit, and you're going to get the fuck out of Dodge. Right. So that there's no, it's like you said, like ultimately the answer, it doesn't matter what the situation is. The answer is this self-policing thing.
Yeah.
And like the group mentality in the right direction, group mentality in that this guy's being a fucking dickhead. Let's give him hell for being a dickhead. And it's kind of like, you know, in chat with Riverside, it's different because chat is quite large.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, if there's, as we had last year, if there's people on the top of a fucking parking deck just doing donuts and burnouts as a big dumbass group, you know, by the time they post videos of it on Instagram you can't really do anything about it, right? But like with a place like Helen, and you get the whole fucking town of enthusiasts yelling at this person.
Yeah.
Even if they are there to annoy people, at some point they're going to be like, yo, this is not even worth it. Like, let's just go.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you're still winning.
Okay.
Like, so by self-policing like that.
I want to tie this into my next point, kind of go back to the thing that I was talking about earlier in the episode about how I have taken a non-VEG car to that event. And I was worried about having issues with it, right? And talked about my experience of VW days when my car was actually vandalized because it was not a Volkswagen. that's where I would see something like that. That's where I would get a concern with that is if the whole, if we're all of the consensus that people who come here and act like idiots are, they're usually not the Volkswagen people, right? Then you might start to see people generalizing everybody who is there that doesn't have a Volkswagen is there for that reason. And you get that, like, that mistreatment where it's like, fuck you. If you're not here in a Volkswagen, fuck you. I don't want to see that happen because, like I said, from my perspective, a lot of us are there for the same reasons everybody else is.
Yeah.
To enjoy cars, to enjoy our friends, and like talk to people, meet people, really appreciate really well done cars. Like, I'm not there to show off my Japanese car. I'm not there at all.
Here's what I'll inject, right? In the context of this and Helen, that's not going to happen. And you know it's not going to happen. I do not think the people that are there this year, like we talked about, are like down-ass VW people that have been going for a long time.
Well, not everybody. Because there's been a lot of social media stuff of
of the people.
Yeah.
I feel like are old heads. And even the ones that are not, if they were going to act like that, they would have done it this year. Yeah. It's not like they're going to be like, all right, well, next year I'm going to be a fucking asshole.
I'm saying if it does start to happen more often, and then we can make that association between the people that go there to misbehave and tie that to a particular group as, say, JDM people or everybody that shows up with a BMW because it's rear-wheel drive, they're there to do burnouts. And I'm not trying to generalize and say everybody is going to do this, but I think it will happen.
Well, what I'm saying is, the amount of people that are going to do some shit like that is greatly outnumbered by the people that are not. And the thing about it is, like you said, that the whole fucking strip was booing these people.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that far off if one or a few of the Volkswagen people are like throwing beers at cars or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
The rest of the Volkswagen people are going to be like, yo, what the fuck? Stop. What the fuck are you doing? So it's like, I think, but you raise a really good point that I'm like fixated on now is this idea of self-policing.
Right.
And using the group mentality to do that, because it's like making me think of these people that like pull their phone out fast as fuck to get people doing burnouts. Like, I just want to punch you in the face. But like the self-policing thing, if by whatever avenue that could become a trend where people get sick of those dumbass people ruining shit for them, where if the amount of people booing them outnumbers the little ring of people, the little ring of people egging them on, if we can multiply that by every show, so there will certainly always be at least one person doing burnouts, because that's never going to change. Right. People are fucking stupid. But if you have the people that are like, I mean, I want the attention. I might do it. Like, my boys are telling me. But then, like, on the other side, they're like, yeah, but I don't want people to get mad at, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's people that are like right on that edge. And, you know, you got your boys over there like, yo, light them up, whatever. Yeah. But if you know in the back of your head that whole show is going to fucking be on your ass right when you do that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be like, nah, I'm good.
Right. I guess I just don't want, you know, people to generalize.
You don't want to take advantage of the group mentality.
It's a Volkswagen show. I'm there to appreciate Volkswagens. But I also, a fun thing while we were there, like, I noticed this with a lot of people. There were like a couple of like body dropped C10s in town. They were like patina. The funny they would thing drive by it, and everyone was like, yo, that is so sick.
That was the one thing that I noticed at Sowo is like,
a lot of these things transfer
A lot of the older, like, a lot of the older low American cars, they're like cool with it.
Yeah. And I also noticed how much love the Y33 got while it was there.
Yeah.
We didn't drive. We drove it around like twice, and it was to go to Mason's meet and to John's meet. Two of our friends. The rest of the time, it sat outside the condo. That thing got a lot of love there. And I think that there might be, just with enthusiasts in general, I think that there is a love like a broad love for everything that is like done to a really high standard. And I think VIP cars falls in there. I think that like the hot rod stuff with those like slam trucks falls in there, and high-end Volkswagens. I think anybody who's like a true enthusiast can like love all of these things. They don't hate the other groups, but that, you know, you can't generalize everybody. There's definitely going to be people there that are on their high horse. Like, ah, there's a Volkswagen show. I have a Volkswagen. Fuck anybody that doesn't have a Volkswagen. And I kind of just don't. That sucks, because I want to be able to be a person who isn't a Volkswagen person that can go to a Volkswagen show and still enjoy Volkswagens and not feel like I'm a fucking weirdo because I don't have a Volkswagen.
Obviously,
I'm speaking from a very unique perspective. Well, not that many people that have had what happened to me happen.
What I was going to say is I feel like at the point that there are imports there that are getting like ganged up on.
Yeah.
At that point, there's already other problems going on reaching its expiration date, if that's happening with such regularity.
Yeah. Which I didn't see that many imports there. Yeah. So I heard of a lot of people were complaining that there were imports and Mustangs and like American cars. Like other people were out on some of the mountains where the lookouts are. But I've never been there, but for me driving on those roads, I'm assuming that those roads are very regularly trafficked every nice weekend of the year by nice cars. Yeah,
oh, for sure.
So I don't think that those were people that were there to ruin the event. I think that they were people that were driving those roads like they do
there on the same any other weekend. Yeah.
And if they're in the way on some of the lookouts, so be it. You have to share public roads with everybody.
Yeah.
If they're doing it purposely to be assholes to Volkswagens, then that's a different story. But
to me, I mean,
yeah, I didn't see any imports in town trying to ruin anything.
Like I said, I'm fixated on the self-policing thing. I mean, honestly sounds like one of the most viable solutions to that problem. And it's like the reason
to give context, when I'm like playing devil's advocate with this, that's not me trying to be like, I don't believe
burnouts are cool.
I'm the one who brought up the self-policing point. I'm just trying to touch on every kind of aspect of it to try and see if there is anything that could potentially go wrong, so we can predict it. And I don't know, it's not even my event to like police. Well, no, I just like the event. And here's the thing, dude.
That's why I'm so fixated on it. It's free.
Right.
You don't have to worry about catching hands, and you're basically doing a service.
Right.
Because you are exerting effort towards getting rid by whatever avenue, getting rid of the people doing shit that ruins shows. And that's what I'm talking. When I talk about the group mentality thing, it's like I said, a lot of times group mentality is used in the context of a bad thing.
Right.
Where people get emboldened to do a bad thing because they're in a group and they're like, well, I'm not going to get caught. There's 20 of us.
Exactly.
Right. But the thing about that is
when you use for
a good thing, the fact remains when you're in a group, you'll do shit you won't normally do. You know what I'm saying? So if you're standing right next to the street and this dude's doing a burnout,
it could be one person booing and then they'll get out of their car and be like, what's fuck your problem?
Exactly.
It's a whole group. They're not going to do that.
They're not going to fucking do that. And so that's what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what show that you're at. If this idea of self-policing were able to get spread out far enough, and it just became one of those things where if you are one of the people like me or you or any of our friends, where when somebody does a burnout, you're like, will you fucking stop?
Yeah. Everybody voices that
exactly
at the same time.
If that became like this thing that was like, okay, perfect example. You want to know what the ideal scenario would be?
What?
You know, at least they did this in my high school and I've heard of it in other places. But like when somebody would drop something like a tray or a plate, or you'd hear like glass break
in like the cafeteria,
everybody would start clapping. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, can you imagine if booing people doing burnouts became like that level of commonplace at shows, where if somebody did a burnout, everybody was just immediately like, fuck.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, it'd be great.
It would cut that shit in half.
This kind of cuts to a really good message for any of you guys. Like, we're using Helen and Alpine Vax or Alpine Volksfair as an example, but this really can apply to any event.
Any show.
Like, if you care about an event, you care about that community that surrounds that event, you as an attendee have to do your part to, like, protect it and keep it as a good event. And I'm not out of the question for this shit either. Like, I have done stuff in my past, and my videos that I've made in the past have directly related to some of the bad things that happened. Like, we can talk about Gatlinburg specifically. Gatlinburg used to happen, like, Slammerknife Gatlinburg used to happen in the city of Gatlinburg. And the reason that event got, like, really big and more people started coming for the parties is because they'd see my videos from it. And the reason I've taken a step away from making those videos is because I saw what that was doing for the event, and I didn't like it. I didn't want that event to turn into a thing where people just come and act like idiots for the weekend. So I stepped away. I didn't want to make those videos because I didn't want that to continue happening. And I regret that that happened. Obviously, those videos are great. They're great memories for a lot of people. But I regret that I was involved with the downfall of that event. And I'm not saying that event is ruined now, but it's obviously different than it used to be. It got really, really big, and that sense of community was lost because there's so many people that came there for the opportunity to be idiots. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see that happen with other events. I really don't. And that's part of my maturity. And we're putting this out for you guys because I want that to be something that everybody goes through.
Yeah.
I think we all have our, like, immature phases in the car community. I don't think anybody is perfect. There's definitely not. There probably is quite a few people that have been going to car shows since they were like 10 years old and have never once done anything, you know, that could be considered a bad thing.
I mean, it's a person. But, and I'm not saying that in, like, a throwing shade kind of way.
Yeah.
It just is. It's just a personality thing. Like, yeah, there are people that for one reason or another like attention.
Mm.
And that's just the way to get it. And it's kind of like you brought up a good point with these people that it's like a lot of people don't like being booed and shit.
Yeah.
There are some people that jerk off to that shit for some weird fucking reason.
Right.
And it's like those people will always be there and they will always do that.
Yeah, you
kind of. But it's kind of like it's kind of like a microcosm of like what we would like this podcast to be is there are far more people that could kind of lean one way or the other.
Mm.
It's like I was talking about the kid whose boys are telling him to light it up. And on one hand, he's like, yeah, they're telling me to do it. I'm going to fucking do it. On the other hand, he's like, but what if somebody yells at me?
What you if know, the whole crowd?
Well, that's but that's the right point that I'm making is it's like if he knows in the back of his head that the minute that he does that, that the whole fucking crowd is just going to be yelling at him.
Yep.
He's not going to fucking do it. Exactly. And that's one less person doing a burnout, one less instance of not ruining a fucking show, or one less instance of doing something to ruin a show.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I think that self-policing is something that needs to apply to a lot of events. You know, we all, as enthusiasts, we all enjoy burnouts. We all enjoy seeing cars doing like rowdy shit, but there's always a time and a place. You know, these kind of events that have been designed to be really chill, relaxing events that are just good for the community is not the place to do that. If you want to see cars sliding around, go to a drift event. If you want to slide,
you can slide your car around.
Yeah, if you want to slide your car around, go to a drift event. And if you want to do anything that will garner respect, it's going to cost money to do it regardless. So I don't even want to hear the complaint of, oh, I can't afford to get into drifting. Well, we can't afford to lose our fucking events because you want to act like a dickhead. So it's full circle. Spend money to do things. Same thing. If you want to build a car that garners respect, it's going to cost money. Everything is going to cost money. It's pay to play in the game of cars. It always will be. But respect also comes from attitude. If you have a good attitude, you're respectful of, you know, the crowds, the places, the venues, whatever, the other owners of cars, whether they're your taste or not, it goes both ways. And I was just really impressed. Like, going full circle back to what I said at the start, I was really impressed with what I saw at Alpine Volksfair in Helen. My experience, this was the first time that I had gone to an event that I did not worry about shooting. I was not there to work. I was purely there because I am close friends with people in Chattanooga that have been going there for a very long time. And I've always wanted to go. And so I spent the weekend kind of hanging out, enjoying myself, talking to people, meeting people, and observing. And I was impressed. I was really impressed. I like the quality of cars was super high. The quality of people was super high. The venue is great. That whole town is incredible. And I'm a little bummed that I didn't like drive up into the mountains and shoot with some cars. But I really didn't. I didn't feel like I needed to, which is my own battle with myself is trying to go to an event and relax instead of working while I'm there. I hate missing out on the opportunities, but that's really my own thing that's specific to me. But I had a blast. I really cannot speak highly enough of just the people that were there and the people that were protecting the event.
Yeah.
And I want to see more of that. And one thing that I guess it left me with, just as a point of motivation, at least, is I've talked a lot on this podcast and off of this podcast about how I want to get into hosting events. And that's why stuff like this is very interesting to me. And that's why I like to observe. And that's why I talk about it so much. And I'm very passionate about it, is because I want to get into the event space. And this weekend specifically motivated me more than anything to create an event for a specific subculture. And that's not because I felt like I didn't want to be inclusive of other people, but it's because I think that the demographic and the type of people that come to an event like that, like we'll use Helen as the example, it's a more mature crowd. These are Volkswagen people. They care about their cars. They're extremely passionate about it. Where can I find that within some of the communities that I'm a part of? The Stance community on the whole, there's a lot of immature people because it's the quickest and easiest way to get attention in a car beyond doing takeover stuff. So, you know, you got all these kids that are throwing tons of camber and crazy big wheels and wide body kits and crazy colors at cars without any like real direction because it garners them attention. Where is that niche within that of people that are as respectful as like the Volkswagen community that you could do an event like that where it's community based, it's a good time. I think, and this is just me because obviously this is what I love doing and I'm very heavily involved with it. I think the VIP community, I think the big body cars specifically has a much more mature audience than like the regular Stance crowd. They're still Stance cars, you know, the key points of those cars is, you know, fitment, super low. Costs a lot of money to build a real VIP car, like a lot of money. A lot of these kids, they do not have the time and the patience and the money to do this just to get some attention. The guys that are building really high-end VIP cars, they are really fucking about it. I want to narrow down on that community specifically and create an event for those people that are really, and it doesn't have to be just VIP cars specifically. I'm talking more about that audience.
We're going to throw beers at anybody that doesn't have a VIP car.
No, I'm talking about the thing that appeals to this type of audience, right? People who are genuine enthusiasts, they're really fucking about this stuff and they're really passionate about it. And that is a big reason why we love doing this podcast is because we like to be able to reach those audiences within these subcultures of people that are super passionate about cars, they're super passionate about these events, about expressing themselves through cars, and ultimately, they're just really about this shit. And yeah, I want to create an event for VIP cars that does a similar thing to that. You know, I've been to so many events in different parts of the world where I've just taken little things from other stuff, and I'm finally getting to a point where I'm really narrowing down what I feel like I want to provide to the audience that I love and care about. And I think that is a VIP specific show that is catered to that audience, but is welcoming of anybody that is, you know, has those key like morals where it either passionate about the cars, you know, fitment and low cars is like their thing, but VIP cars specifically ties all of those things in and has that audience of people that are a little bit more mature and that they're really about it. And I don't want to get into that too much. But that's just like, that's early stages of my thought process behind doing an event like that, is I'm taking inspiration from some of these European events that I've been to because I see similarities in those audiences.
I mean, I think, God damn it. So I'm going to start charging Mason for the amount of ads that we do for Riverside. But
we're just going to stop bleeping the word Riverside and Mason Gavin.
Exactly. So, no, but once again, Riverside is an example of a good direction in that the reason you don't really have that at Riverside is because it's so tightly controlled.
Yeah.
Which in certain contexts, it may sound kind of counterintuitive to have like a really controlled car show. But not really, though. And I really do. I almost feel like the secret is going to be something that has to be found through a lot of like trial and error and study, in that the secret to like more or less eliminating this is there, but it has to do with finding this balance of like being practical.
Yeah.
And also finding a way to like more or less have control of the area that you're doing your show in. Right. And a lot of that is going to have to do with policing.
Yeah.
Like not like police, but like self-policing.
The way that
the meat, right. And
right. You the know, people that attend, the attendees, exactly. The spectators, the car owners, the way that they feel about an event, trying to protect
exactly.
it is ultimately
and
what's
going to they
want
to defend it just as much as the organizers right. do. So, you know, I think that's going to be the secret. I think that's going to be, you know, and obviously Mason more or less kind of found it, at least in the context of Riverside. But
and he doesn't even do it on purpose either, because like we all live in Chattanooga and we don't shut up about Riverside. And this isn't because Mason,
He brainwashed us, actually.
It's just that event is that good that it created this sense of community within me and this love for Chattanooga that I care so much about that event. And Mason has never paid me to say that.
He doesn't force us to do it.
He doesn't need to, but that's a good event. Is when you don't force anybody to love the event. They just love it.
Yeah.
Because it's that good.
But yeah, so that being said, like, the events that you love, defend those shits. Like, yeah, and you
defend
don't
defend those shits.
You don't even have to go like that far out of your way.
No.
Especially if there's a group of you.
Yeah.
You don't have to go that far out of your way. And it's like that's as you can tell from what I'm saying, that has been my takeaway from this, that I think a combination of figuring out how to control in a practical and not like ugly way.
Right. Controlling, nobody wants an event that's so controlled right. that it's not fun.
But, you know, finding a way to practically and like liberally control the area where you're having the event.
Right.
But then having the general consensus be, if you see somebody doing something fucking stupid,
right,
make them feel really small for doing that.
Right.
With those two things in conjunction, I mean, you're going to cut that shit down a good chunk. I mean, and that's
absolutely.
You know.
And that's really what I hope continues to happen with Alpine Volksfest. You know, all the talk that I've heard from people that have been going for years saying, you know, this is probably going to be the last year that it's like this. Like, after this, I think it's going to get, you know, more and more people are going to come. It might start getting a little bit more out of control again. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that these people that have been going for long enough and they really care about it continue to protect that event in a way that is you know,
no, they
is beneficial to the event and doesn't completely ruin it in the sense that nobody should go unless you're a Volkswagen enthusiast. I don't know. Yeah, there's a fine balance with all of it. But yeah, again, going back to it, I was just super impressed with how everybody held it down that weekend. And I will be back next year.
Yeah. I'm definitely going next year. I think that was one of my things that I immediately liked Volksfest was like, the first year that they did it, and when I went back, I was like, it's kind of like when your favorite music artist, like, makes an album and then just go Frank Ocean looking at you, makes an album and just goes off the map.
Kendrick Lamar looking at you.
But then they fucking just come back mm-hmm. and they drop an album and you're like, yes, I've been waiting for them. That's how I felt yeah. when Volksfair showed back up.
I can 100% see that.
And it felt like Solo. Because like,
except from my perspective, it was like all of my friends had been seeing them live for such a long time. Yeah, and exactly. I had just been listening to them on exactly. Spotify. And then I finally got to go to a concert.
That's how it felt to me when it showed back up. I remember, dude, it fucking sucked last year because of my allergies.
Oh,
yeah. I had to leave early because like I was suffering so fucking much. I had to leave.
That does not
it sound was fun. Fucking ass. I hated it so much. But no, that will we give the Substance seal of approval to Alpine Volksfair in Helen, Georgia. You guys should 100% come check it out. If you want to do a burnout though, stay your ass home. Yep. Learn how to be a better person. But definitely come check it out. It's a great show, and you're getting, I would say, a pretty solid taste of what Solo was about. If you've ever heard,
getting a taste of the best parts of Solo.
Yeah, you're getting a taste of that. So it's really cool that that's still a thing. But you know, also, if you do come down in the future, definitely make sure you be a part of the crowd that was booing the people doing burnouts because they suck.
Do that for other events. Even if it's
100%,
even if it's your local meet that's happening. If you have a meet, like we went to a meet yesterday. Shout out to the Stay Tuned crew, which is like it's a local group to Chattanooga, and they've been putting on meets relatively regularly in this area. And I think that there's been a demand, there's been a need for there to be meets in the Chattanooga area, and we want to get into doing meets here too. But I'm so glad that they are doing those. And you know, yesterday there were a couple people.
And they've been holding it down for a minute here too.
Yeah, there were a couple people yesterday that did burnouts when they were leaving, and obviously the organizers were trying to chase after them to tell them like, hey, please don't do that. But here's the thing: if you're standing around in that like if you're around where they're doing the burnouts, if you're close by, like I was 15 feet from somebody who did a burnout. As soon as they started doing it, I yelled at them. I was like, "Do not do that." Like as soon as I saw, this was an automatic, it was like a 4 series BMW or whatever. As soon as I saw that their car started pushing forward and the front brakes were locked up, I yelled, "Don't do that." He still did it. But if there are more people standing there like me saying, "Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that." And they care about it, that person is probably not going to do it. And if they do, they're going to feel pretty stupid if they do it. So, you know, just think about it, guys. If any events, meets, whatever,
tell your homies, boo the burnouts.
If you want to see these things happen and you want to see them continue to happen, you want to see the community grow, we need to be policing our own community. We all love burnouts, but like we said, there is a time and a place. If you want to see a car slide, go to a fucking drift event. If you want to slide your car, go to a drift event. If you can't afford to go to a drift event, go find a parking lot that has nobody in it in the middle of the night that won't disrupt anybody. Go do whatever you want to learn car control away from people. Don't show off for crowds. It's not worth it. It ruins events, and you could lose control of your car and hit somebody. Nobody ever wants to see that, because then that completely ruins it. And then the general public thinks that we're all fucking idiots.
Not for nothing, too. It just, I will never understand the desire to do shit like that. Just like burnouts and shit. At meets and shows. But like, if you legitimately do that because you think you're impressing somebody, if you value the opinion of 16 and 18 year olds, I don't know what to tell you, but like, those are the only, that's your demographic.
Yes.
Of people that are enjoying watching you progressively fuck up a show.
Yeah. And there's plenty of other events that honestly, they don't care about burnouts. Like there's cruise-ins that happen where like the police don't care if you do burnouts. If you want to go do shit there, that's fine. But some of these events that are specifically set up for people who are like super enthusiastic about like aesthetically building cars, or just like really taking care and preserving and building nice cars, where it's more about looking at those cars and appreciating them as opposed to doing a bunch of crazy shit to show off, don't come to those events and do shit. If it's an event that's more catered to people who like showing off, go to those and do that. Don't come to the aesthetic events where everybody's
in. There are literally events that have burnout contests.
There are events.
Go to those fucking events. Go to those. You want to do that shit.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, I feel like this was a pretty cool episode.
We were all over. We were pretty all over the place. It was cool.
I got a banging headache, and it's really hot in here.
I was going to say, that's probably why.
This is super uncomfortable.
We're pretty sweaty. I'm going to have to go take a shower again after this.
Nothing wrong with the chairs, though. Shout out Johnny. Hey, shout out Johnny. Every episode, he's getting a shower from these chairs.
These are super comfortable chairs, man.
The chairs are comfortable. My ass still feels good, but it's real hot in here, and I would love it if we had, like, a AC.
You remember when we were on the way back from lunch, and I said I want ice cream?
Yeah.
Now I really want ice cream.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go swimming, I think. What time is it right now? It is 3:30. You know, I might go swim for a couple hours and then come back and get some editing done. But it's hot. I don't like the summer. I don't like the summer. That's why I like that I live here. I can go find a creek and go swimming.
Really quick plug, dudes. Discord still open.
Yes.
If you need a link, if the link is being a bitch again, you can DM.
Yeah, you can hit
either Liam or I. I'm still, I don't even remember how many episodes. It's really embarrassing that I have to say this again, but like, I appreciate the shout out in the last episode, but like, I'm not saying this as an excuse. I'm just kind of letting you guys in. It's two things. I have a lot going on, but also I'm just, I'll be honest, I try when I have like the brain capacity to keep up with social media, but I do just have these gaps, and like it keeps happening with the Discord just because I have so much other shit going on. Yeah. I don't really have the time or the energy to like contribute all that much.
Yeah.
I'll
be honest for myself too. A lot of the stuff that's in the Discord is like people sharing stuff they find. I haven't been on social media much at all. I don't know if any of you guys have noticed, but like I consider myself taking a fairly large break from social media and social media related things, just because for the longest time, social media has been my entire life. It's my career. So everything I do for me to pay the bills and whatever is revolved around social media. Well, now that I work a job where I'm doing marketing, which still revolves around social media, but it's not my social media, I'm not really on there very much, and I don't care to be. Just for my own sake, I'm trying to like not be on Instagram much, trying to not be on Twitter much, and just trying to enjoy myself and appreciate things in my life to really like get everything restructured and come out how I want to be.
I think that's the thing to keep in mind, not only for us, but for you guys. And, you know, we've said it a million times, we'll say it a million more times, how much we really appreciate you guys. Yep. You know, it means a lot. It really does mean a lot to us that you guys are tuning in every week to listen to me and him have a fucking 2-hour conversation about what we love, and you listen because it's what you love. But you know, that being said, it's, you know, this is a double appreciation post for you guys in that, you know, I think I'm very confident just in what you guys do and don't say, that you all realize, acknowledge, and give grace to me and Liam, because we both are in like really kind of weird, busy transitionary points. Yeah. And when we started Substance, we kind of weren't. So it was like a lot easier to just like jump into it.
Yeah.
But you know, right now, like all of you guys that are listening every week or with any regularity whatsoever, you guys are kind of the OGs, and you know, I want you to know, we're not going to forget that, you know, that's going to be something that we are going to make a point to whatever degree reward you guys for that later, just because like you're sticking with us. But it is, man, me and Liam both, are in kind of this weird, exhausting transitionary period where, like we've talked about, like we're trying to find this balance and we haven't quite found it yet. But we are trying, you know, it kind of hurts to like say what I'm saying in that solely because at this point in my life, as somebody who for a really long time has had a problem committing to something and then like not going through with it, I've kind of adopted the idea that don't speak it, show it. And for me, after you hearing me say this, that's going to be the philosophy. I think it's just something that me and Liam both feel. I mean, you can disagree if you feel differently, but like we both feel bad. We feel bad that, you know, we've like, obviously we're still doing the podcast because we love it.
Yeah.
We love
there's a lot of things like, that we've talked about and we want to do with the podcast and we haven't been able to,
we just
haven't acted on those things.
Well, yet. It's not even that. Well, it is that, but like, it's just, like I said, we're both kind of in a weird transitionary period that, you know, logistically is not really on our side right now. Like just for instance, you know, I have a fair amount of really exciting ideas as far as products and things like that. But right now neither of us really have the expendable income to invest in this right this second. And that sucks because
for me, I'm like, I'm very much burnt out on everything that I've done with LEP and all of the things that have gone wrong within the past year related to LEP that has kind of led me to this point where I don't want to do it anymore and I've had to get out of it and I've ended up losing like all of my money to that shit. It's hard to then just like jump back into something that's very similar. Like obviously it's a different approach. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to just jump back into that and be like, all right, cool. Let's throw all my money at this again. Which I've already thrown a lot of money at Substance for like all of this equipment stuff. It's hard for me to commit into that and just go ahead and do it because I'm scared. I'm scared that something that I've worked really hard for a really long time, was very passionate about, it was my baby. LEP was my baby. I've lost a lot of that stuff. And it scares me that this is something else that is, this is my new baby. This is something that I have been planning.
This is my second child.
Yeah. This is something that I've been planning. Yeah. The first child died. I just, wasn't a good parent to that one. So we'll do it right on the second baby. No, I'm just, it's a scary thing for me to jump back into something that I really care about. And I don't want to go too fast into it and make the same mistakes that I did with LEP. So yeah, I'm on edge about a lot of stuff related to this. And that's why, you know, we haven't been rushing into everything and just jumping straight into it. Like, yeah, here's products, here's the website, here's everything, you know, announcing we're doing this, or like we're traveling out to events every weekend to record the podcast. All of these things they're risks that
neither of us can
afford to take
at this moment. Yeah. And it's not to say that we won't, because we will. This is really important to us. But like right now, logistically,
it just wouldn't be smart idea.
Yeah, no. It's just not a good idea. And, you know, but I think, you know, I'll just reiterate. And I think I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to speak for you. I think that this is going to be a speak and not show it thing. I think we've said and or apologized for this enough. So I think the final thing that I will say about it is, first of all, once again, thank you guys. Thank you guys for your patience. Thanks for being some down ass fools for, you know, us, for Substance. And it's going to be a speak and not show it. You know, when we're ready, you know, when we have things that we're proud of and that we're ready to release that we feel like deserves your money and attention, we're going to do that. But like until then, we're going to be here. We're going to be doing the podcast. You know, this is what we have to offer for now.
That, and I'm still putting out some good content on the YouTube channel. If you guys haven't been watching some of the YouTube videos, you really should. Me and Ben are doing the Drive and Shoot series, which is great. And also, like, we've just been putting out vlogs that are very, like, informal and kind of just us having fun.
Maybe one day I'll be in another one and not literally anywhere else.
Well, okay, you haven't had weekends free for a little
exactly.
while.
Exactly.
So. But that being said, If you guys would like to help me get to a point where I am more comfortable to be able to get more in this, the LEP like web store is still open. LEPautomotive.com/shop is still open. And everything that is on the site right now is 40% off. This is the biggest sale I've ever done. And this is really me just trying to get rid of everything so that I can recoup any money to pay off debt that's related to that business. So if you guys want to help me out in that way to really get some, at least some of the weight lifted off of my shoulders, to kind of move past that, I would really, really appreciate if you could. That would mean the world to me. It's not like it's all shitty stuff for cheap prices. This is all really, really nice stuff that I've spent a lot of money and time and stuff. I still have stock. So if you go on the site and you find anything in your size and you want it, please go grab it. I would really appreciate that. All of that money would help me out a ton with just paying off some of the debt related to the business so that I can kind of relax some and not have to think so much about how much all of that has sucked, and I can kind of move forward with Substance as, you know, the new business venture, and we can do all of the exciting things that we've talked about. So yeah, thanks guys.
We
love you. And again, please share this on your Instagram stories. It helps us out an absolute ton. You guys single-handedly do the marketing for us. When I say that I don't really get on social media much, I'm doing that for my own sake. And you guys just like posting this stuff on your stories and sharing it and me resharing it on the Substance account or my own account, really does a lot of the marketing for us and helps me having to like stress about that side of things. Obviously I want to get more involved in that, but for my own sake right now, I'm not doing too much of it. It does help. It helps get this podcast out to more people, and we love to see it. So, you got anything to add?
I guess one more small apology for the people that will tag me in their story. If I don't repost it, it is not because I'm being shitty. It's probably because I won't be on Instagram until 2 days later where it just says mentioned in their story and there's just nothing there. So it's
that does happen to me.
It's
a
not
couple times
because
too.
I'm ignoring you. It's just because I am still bleh. I'm still trying to figure it out, but you guys are the OGs, man.
Yeah.
You guys are the OGs, and we are always going to do the best that we can to, you know, take care of you and in some way, shape or form kind of reward you from being with us since day one. So just know that we're doing it. And like I said, from here on out, we're going to be speak it, not show it. So just keep tabs on the YouTube, listen to these episodes, and We're going to have something for you.
Hell yeah, guys. Love y'all. We will, we'll see you for another episode next week, and, peace.
Bye.